The City Council meeting for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, August the 25th, 2015. I currently have 7:03 p.m. I'd like to call our meeting to order. Tonight's invocation will be given by Councilmember Augustus, and then the pledge will be led by Councilmember Reese. Mr. Zapala?
Our dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be able to live here in this country and to be able to live here in this great city. We're thankful for the many fine people that we serve with and for the residents that volunteer in many ways. We ask that Thou wouldst bless us this evening, that we might be able to consider well the matters of the city and to be able to make decisions that are well informed and that are supporting of the residents that live in our town. We ask these favors and blessings in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please rise. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Appreciate all of you being here, ladies and gentlemen, and members of the media as well. We would like to now approve the meeting's agenda. So if someone would like to make a motion to accept or amend tonight's agenda, I will take that now.
I move that we approve the agenda as outlined.
Okay. I have a motion to approve the agenda as is. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Reese. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Next item is public comments. And Melissa, are you getting the public comments roll? No.
I'll get it.
I didn't see anyone sign in as I came by other than Principal Bromley. Hold on one second. So public comments is where we give anyone that would like 3 minutes to talk about whatever is on their mind. I do have two people that have signed up. And so our good friend Rhonda Bromley, who's the principal of Lone Peak High School, has brought some friends with her. And why don't you come up to the microphone and you can just state your name, your address, and then time is yours.
Great. Like he said, I'm Rhonda Bromley. I'm the principal of Lone Peak High School, and my friends are actually my assistant principals. Want to introduce Mike May and Shane Hill and Dan Biolo, and appreciate them. We have a great team. 3 minutes is not long enough to talk about the wonderful things going on at Lone Peak, so I'm going to go quickly, okay? So we love coming to the city meeting at the beginning of every school year, just most of all to thank you for all that you do. We work with the same families and the same students, and we're all very lucky to have such wonderful people that we work with. Also, just kind of want to let you know some of the things that are going on at Lone Peak. First of all, we're really excited and proud of our 95% graduation rate that we have this year, which is 4% above Alpine School District's average and 12% above the state average. We're really proud of the amazing students that we have, and of course, they come with amazing families and parents. Also, just want to let you know, I appreciate David and Greg that meet with us often about city programs and city rec programs. I just really appreciate the partnership that I feel like we have, and we want to continue to grow that partnership. Also, Mayor, I have the opportunity to see you often at different events and just appreciate the way that you represent our community and want to thank you for that. A couple of things I want you to know. It's no secret that we've gone through some challenges over the last few years at Lone Peak High School, and we're really excited about some changes that we've made at the school and the addition of a full-time social worker at the school that's going to be able to help our students with some of the deeper mental health issues that they're facing. Also, just help them all with just some general coping skills of dealing with just hard things that teenagers go through. We appreciate partnering with the community, including your community, when it comes to the Lone Peak Community for Hope. And we've started a Hope Squad at the school, and we're really excited about that, giving more students an opportunity to be involved, but also reaching out to the students that need some extra help. We do have 2,600 students at Lone Peak this year, and we're excited about that. One of the questions that often comes to me has to do with the new school that's being built not far from our school, and that actually will not affect the Lone Peak boundary. boundaries. That just affects Lehigh High School's boundaries. So that's just an FYI for you on that. But I do want to tell you, I really appreciate, you know, that the location of our school is interesting because we reside in Highland City boundaries, but just across the street from us is Cedar Hills boundaries. And as you know, you have the American Fork Police Department that work with you, and in the city of Highland that our school resides is the Highland Alpine Police Department. So just want you to know how much I appreciate the partnership that we have. I know Sam Lydiard is here, and I really appreciate Sam and the SRO from American Fork, Russ, that, you know, we call them too often, I know, but you know, right across from our school in your boundaries is McDonald's and Walmart, and sometimes our students go there. And anyway, I'm like this with the managers there, but just want you to know how much I appreciate the partnership with the police department as well, and just thank you for all that you do, and looking forward to another great year at Lone Peak. So we have some things. I know you love Lone Peak swag, so we're just going to give you some t-shirts and some books. And so Mike and Shane, if you could just quickly pass those out, and just thank you, and we hope to see you at all of our events and things this year. So
thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Go Knights.
Well, that is being passed out. Mr. Cromer, are you wanting to speak on a specific item or just in public comments? Public comments, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Cromer, if you want to come forward.
Thanks. Ken Cromer, 9870 North Meadow Drive, researcher for Cedar Hill Citizens for Responsible Government and former city councilman, 94 to 2000. I'd like to begin by just saying how grateful I am for Mike May with regards to soccer. We have a hard time getting fields in town, and he's made it possible for us to actually be able to play on Saturday mornings outside of Cedar Hills, and really appreciate that. On the sign-up, it says that, you know, when would you like to be contacted in return? And I often, in fact, I think every time I've written yes, and I never receive a response back with regards to the issues I bring up. And so last time I spoke, I was asking with regards to Matt Reese and the April 23rd, 2013 city council meeting, at which he actually made verbal threats of physical violence towards me during a city council meeting, which was rather strange. And as I mentioned last time around, that I found it interesting that that did not even show up in the minutes that he was in attendance, and made a point of that at the last city council meeting. I have since made a report to the American Fork Police Department in light of the city's attempts to disparage my character, thanks to the mayor and the former attorney, claiming that I'm a violent person and prone to the killing of police officers, in a document that was prepared by the former attorney. And so in light of, I found it interesting that Councilman Reese's husband makes verbal threats. He doesn't show up as having been in attendance, and then the city actually attacks me with these disparaging comments in print. And so I just was wondering if that's been corrected. I checked the minutes tonight before coming. I haven't seen the correction made. Do you know anything, Mayor?
You know, this is not a dialogue going back and forth, but one thing I will tell you is that I will have the city attorney follow up and answer your question.
I would be most grateful.
Okay.
Just trying to see what time I've got left.
You have about 50 seconds.
Just checking here real quick on my notes. I am gratified by the efforts that have been made by Colleen with regards to the elections. We have On the 30th of July, some of you may or may not know that myself and Kurt Crosby, the candidate, came in, and as well as Sam Bushman, and we talked at great length, and there were some efforts to make some changes. There is a clear documentation, though, that the ballot box was not 100% secure, at least up until the 30th of July, and I know we'll be counting tonight. It may not make a difference, but just thought I'd alert you to that fact. And thank you. And one last thing is, oh, good, 10 seconds. The last thing, September newsletter, it really, really needs to have the year-by-year taxpayer subsidies of $550,000 per year listed so the citizens can know how to weigh that into their decision on a vote. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Very good. So that takes care of our public comments. Unless there's someone who didn't sign up and wants to speak. Mrs. Wright, you want to come forward?
I had no desire. Marisa Wright, 9102 Silver Lake Drive. I had no desire to speak until I heard Ken speak. I just wanted to say I have every faith in the system of this voting process. I have every faith in Colleen and Gretchen and everyone who's worked in this process. Their integrity, I've known them for years. Their integrity is of the utmost. And for him to come up and publicly state that some things are awry is insulting at best. I think this city has done an amazing job with honest elections the 10 years that I've been here, and so I want it to be on the public record that I feel like most citizens believe in this process and feel like it's done in a fair way, and I think it is a small minority, if it's one or two people in town who feel like anything is somewhat scandalous. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So, if I haven't missed anyone on public comments, then I will close that part of our meeting and move on to our presentation and recognitions part of our meeting. So, this is where we typically handle our Cedar Hills Champion section. And this is a really fun thing for the council. And tonight we have an outstanding young man, Joseph Cho, who has done something that truly is outstanding. He has received every available merit badge and is completing his Eagle Scout Award. He'll be given his Eagle Scout Award on Saturday night, and I'll participate in that. But this puts him in such great company with some residents in our city. Chad Lewis, who played in the NFL for about 7 or 8 years in the Pro Bowl. Herb Wilkinson, who played for the University of Utah back in the 50s, I believe, went to the national championship. The Huntsman Award winner for State of Utah, Priscilla Leek, who's a resident, for teaching. So this is outstanding, Joseph. I'm an Eagle Scout, but you've so far exceeded what I did. It's not even a close comparison. And so we're really proud that you're one of ours, that you're one of our residents. So some things that we're going to do tonight is we're going to give you the Cedar Hills Champion Award, a small token of our appreciation. Your name will be placed on a plaque, looks like this, so that everyone can see that. I am going to read into the record the resolution that we're going to make. And then it will be motioned, approved. Council will vote on that. And then we're going to take some pictures, if that's okay. So, starting then with our Cedar Hills champion. Let me make sure I haven't missed anything on this. I'm going to read the motion now. I think I hit all of the relevant points. So what this motion is, there's a bunch of whereas, and it finishes up with it, now therefore. So I'm going to read it word for word.
A resolution recognizing Joseph Cho as a Cedar Hills champion for his outstanding commitment to excellence, for his hard work and dedication, his enthusiasm and example. Whereas the City of Cedar Hills wishes to fully recognize the time, dedication, and hard work that Joseph Cho has devoted to achieve the Boy Scouts of America's highest rank of Eagle Scout. And whereas the rank of Eagle Scout takes a minimum of 21 merit badges to earn, and Joseph has earned all 141 merit badges. And whereas Joseph has also earned all of the Cub Scout awards, and through his hard work and dedication, he has learned to serve and become an effective leader, an example to the youth in our city. And whereas Joseph Cho exemplifies the traits, abilities, and the drive that inspire others in our community to pursue their own personal goals and dreams. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Cedar Hills, Utah, and on behalf of all residents, hereby proclaims that August 26, 2015, be recognized as Cedar Hills Champion Joseph Cho Day. With this, the City of Cedar Hills wishes to recognize and sincerely thank Joseph Cho for his dedication, inspiration, and example that he has provided to the community. That's our resolution. So, Council, if someone would like to make a motion on that, and we will take that.
I move that we approve Resolution 8-25-2015A, a resolution recognizing Joseph Cho as a Cedar Hills champion for his outstanding commitment to excellence, for his hard work and dedication, his enthusiasm and example.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Motion's been seconded by Mr. Zappala. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. We're going to take just a moment, ladies and gentlemen, and go take some pictures if that's okay. Outstanding scout, but I imagine there's much more to you than that. So maybe take just a moment and tell us what inspired you to get not just your Eagle Scout Award, but all 141.
Well, that's a great question. What inspired me to not only get my Eagle Scout, but to go beyond and to be able to get my 141 mainly would be my support, would be the support of my family and my friends and my leaders who helped me significantly and helped me see that this accomplishment would take a lot of sacrifice, mainly in time, but also would take, would be able to be a thing I can look back on when I grow 40 or 50 years old and be able to say that I don't have as many of regrets as maybe some other people have at 40 or 50. And I'm grateful for my family and my other peers that helped me be able to push me through this hard but completely worth it task. And yeah, thank you.
What was your hardest merit badge and what was the one you enjoyed the most?
Hardest merit badge would mainly be anything that had to do with the water. I'm not the best of swimmers, I guess, so like scuba diving and other things like that. But I did really like scuba diving because it was able to not just swim around on the water and be able to see maybe the clouds in the distance and the beauty that is presented to us, but also see underneath and be able to explore the beauties and wonders in under the sea instead of just above it. And then animation, I really enjoyed because first it was my last merit badge, and then because it was something I had looked on to for maybe a career. I wouldn't know, but I looked on to it and asked my friends about it, and they said, yeah, look into it, and then I fairly enjoyed it.
Great. Council, maybe you'd like to say something or ask a question.
I would just say congratulations. That's an amazing accomplishment. So that's.
Thank you.
I'm sure it took a lot of work and time. So congratulations.
Thank you.
So how old are you?
I'm 17.
Okay. Congratulations. That's as an Eagle Scout myself, I'm proud, but that's above and beyond. And I think that is really cool. I've only heard of that a couple other times of people earning them all.
Thank you.
I don't know how many like rabbits you raised or pigeons, or I don't think they do pigeons anymore. But
they don't do pigeons anymore, sadly.
Did you have to raise a lot of animals or anything to get all of the?
I raised a goldfish, and I helped take care of some pets and stuff.
Congratulations again. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll just congratulate your mother for helping you through the whole thing, because I know that my mom, I wouldn't have got my Eagle Scout without my mom's help, and I bet you could say the same about all the 141 merit badges. So great job, Mom.
Yeah, no, awesome. I think you're probably the first person I've ever met that's got all 141, so absolutely congratulations.
Thank you.
If you ever want to come to BYU and check out our computer animation program, okay. I'll be your host.
Okay.
Okay, let's go take a break for just a moment back here. We'll take some pictures. Let's start up again. So next item on our agenda are public hearings. And so this is item number 5 and item number 6. First item is a public hearing regarding the amendment to City Code Title 10 relating to animal rights in the R1 15,000 zone. Is there anyone here tonight who has come to speak during this public hearing on this item? Okay. Next public hearing, is amendment to Title 10, Chapter 3, regarding the rezoning of certain portions of area currently in the RR1 20,000 to the RR1 15,000 zone. Portions of area currently in the RR 120,000 to the H1 Hillside Zone, the Cottages Park, Doral Park, and Cedar Run Park to the PF Public Facility Zone, and to amend the official zone map to reflect these zone changes. Okay, so has anyone come to speak on this item as part of the public hearing? No? Okay. Great. Council, does anyone have anything to say on that? You do have an opportunity to speak in public hearing. If not, then I'll close this part of our meeting. Do we need a motion on the public hearings?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Okay, great. So we'll move to our next item, which is the consent agenda. We only have one meeting's minutes to approve. That's the July 7th, 2015 City Council meeting, and also the appointment of Brent, Aaron, David Driggs, Mark Horn to the Golf Course Finance Committee. So I think we just need one motion to approve that.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
I second it.
Is that Mr. Geddes?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Geddes seconded that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Next item is city reports and business. Starting from my left, Mr. Bunker, should go.
Mayor and Council, just to report to you on the Timpanogos Special Service District Board, which I participate with. We did have a meeting last week. And the major portion of that was spent on opening and amending the budget. The biggest issue down there, the reason why we had to amend the budget, was a dramatic increase in legal fees. And then also we had a settlement on the plan expansion project that also occurred. And so we did amend those budgets. And those were public meetings, and you can have access to those minutes as well.
Is the increase in legal fees due to the lawsuit that Pleasant Grove has?
That's among them, yes. There are a couple, but that's one. I did want to I sent out an email earlier today about a fire that's above the city limits of Alpine. It's a small fire in comparison to the ones we've seen in the past. It's about 30 acres in size. I did want to point out that the Lone Peak Public Safety District is not responding to that fire, specifically because it's not within their jurisdiction. And I know that there are residents who wonder, why don't we send our crews up there and just quickly put it out? And we actually do not have the authority to send our firefighters up there. In addition to that, we don't have the equipment that we need to go on steep terrain like that. It would put our firemen in danger if we were to try to take that on. And so the Forest Service is watching that fire. They have done some efforts to extinguish the fire, but they are kind of just sitting back and watching that one a little bit. And I sent that email to you earlier today. And then, Mayor, maybe are you going to talk, Mayor, about Utah County Commission. And
I am.
Okay, I'll let you cover that one. That's all I have then. Thanks.
Mr. Cipolla.
I don't have anything from Lone Peak Public Safety because we haven't met, but I wanted to ask the council for input. It occurred to me in discussions with residents that they often don't have time to come to a public hearing to provide comments, and so I thought it might be wise to provide a way for them to give public comments online. Is that something that the council and mayor would be interested in having a small site developed where they could do that?
Have you run that by Mr. Shaw to see if there's any legal problems with that?
That would be one of my steps as well.
I would suggest that we do that first, and then I personally don't have a problem with that, because sometimes people would like to be here, maybe they're sick or, you know, homebound and can't come under any circumstances, but would like to give input. So conceptually, I think it's a really good idea. I would just suggest that Mr. Bunker, if you wouldn't mind running that by Mr. Shaw, and see if there's any reason why we couldn't do that. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, Mrs. Reese.
The Planning Commission met last week, and they reviewed and approved the preliminary plans for the proposed congregate care facility located in the SC1 commercial zone. And I took some pretty detailed notes, and those are available on my blog if you'd like to see them. And, of course, they'll be in the city in the Planning Commission minutes once those are approved. So this will now come to the City Council for consideration. They also discussed the Levine property, which is located on the Cedar Hills-Pleasant Grove border. Mr. Levine is interested in subdividing his property, but he's running this issues with regards to the city's requirement for curb, gutter, and asphalt. I think a big portion of it's being an expense due to the fact that there are some power poles or telephone poles on that property. So he's asking for an exception, and he has been notified that that will have to go through the Board of Adjustments. And then lastly, the Planning Commission has agreed to hold another special meeting to discuss changes in the design guidelines, and that will be upcoming. As far as communications, we issued a press release regarding Joseph tonight, and then I sent all of you last week the files for the state of the city for your review, so we're still on schedule for that, and that's all.
Okay, thank you very much. The Lone Peak Public Safety meeting was canceled this Thursday, so we won't report anything until we come back on that. Our Finance Committee, I don't believe, has a meeting scheduled at this point. When we do, we'll report back on that. Now let me tell you what's going on with the county. And so I am very disappointed in the county, what the county commissioners have done, and also specifically disappointed in County Auditor Brian Thompson. So the county commissioners made a decision to put the quarter cent local option on the ballot this year as opposed to next year, which I had advocated for. I think some other mayors had advocated with me, so that residents could have more time to digest this. But it is on the agenda this fall. And now this leads to my disappointment in the county auditor, Brian Thompson, in that Cedar Hills was the first city to decide we were going to have a vote-by-mail election. And four other cities joined us. That is great. It was very successful. But we don't control the county's ballot. The county will not combine its ballot with our city's or any other vote-by-mail city's ballot. Therefore, Cedar Hills, which is going to do our vote-by-mail ballot in the fall, that's what Ms. Mulvey has said that she wants to do. She's the elections official for the city of Cedar Hills. And if you want to vote in the county's ballot, which includes the quarter cent local option, which is an important issue, you're going to have to come in person or have an absentee ballot in order to accomplish this. So you're going to have to vote twice. That's what I'm disappointed in. And so this is going to create some confusion for our residents plus the residents of four other cities. And so I was in a meeting Monday morning with the county commissioners, county auditor, and a bunch of city managers and city recorders. Ms. Mulvey was there from our city, and they rightfully beat up on the county commissioners and also, but specifically, Brian Thompson, and he did not change his mind. So, and I don't believe he's going to change his mind. So that is unfortunate for our city and all the cities that are involved, because I think Provo is going to do vote by mail next. So that's the first, second, and third largest cities in Utah County, which are going to be doing vote by mail. Many more, I think, will get on board. But for whatever reason, the county auditor does not like it. So that's where we are. And we will try and communicate this to the residents as best as we can through as many venues as we can, but it will create some confusion without doubt. So that's all. Mr. Crawley.
Yeah. I've been working on the Golf Course Finance Committee, and we've met every week for several weeks in order to get to a resolution as quick as possible. And I feel like it's been very helpful. We've had a lot of things come to light, a lot of new knowledge that we, at least I didn't know about. So, and I think a lot of people didn't know about too. I think that we're learning a lot about the legal issues surrounding the golf course and the options we have. And I feel like it's very productive. So we're meeting tomorrow again. Then we're going to have a week off at least. I think we're going to meet 2 weeks again on Thursday. So that's coming up.
Okay, thank you.
Rob, can you clarify that? Is it tomorrow or Thursday? Like normal?
It's tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Okay. Some people were going out of town, so we bumped up one day.
Okay, Mr. Augustus.
Yeah, golf course committee was mentioned, so I think that covered everything there, and I haven't met with any of the other committees since my last report.
Okay, so very good. It. Mr. Geddes.
So I met with the Parks and Trails and Beautification Committee this last week, actually. We met at the cul-de-sac. Down there that will be our gateway to the Cedar Hills. The committee is going to propose, we're going to be here with at least a request for some preliminary funds to start a design with a landscape architect. They'll be before the city council on September 8th. So that's coming. The committee's done a lot of work on they want to make it a focal piece, and I think it makes sense to do something really nice with that cul-de-sac.
Is it roundabout?
You said count us up.
Roundabout.
Okay, thank you.
The roundabout right there is the first roundabout coming on Cedar Hills Boulevard. So we met there last week and talked about it. We also reviewed the city breakfast, which this committee was responsible for putting on. And we have a few, well, at least we have Melissa here that was on the committee. And I think it was very successful. I think the city and staff and council and wives and everything that participated, I think it went really well. It was attended, I think the number was just under 500 people. So it was an increase over last year, and we're expecting to grow it each year. We've already set a new date for next year. And it's, I think, the second or third. We're going to try to keep it consistent, either second or third Saturday of August. So that it becomes a kind of a tradition. And so anyway, that's what's going. We just got some information on Bay Hill Park today that I'll be taking back to the committee that Bone and Collins did on some ideas. And then the last thing is the Lone Peak or the dispatch. I'm meeting tomorrow. There's been a lot going on there. The building originally, I think I reported, is $1 million over budget. From what was designed to what was bid.
Did you just say $1 million over budget?
$1 million over budget.
And what was the budget? Was it?
I don't know. You can tell me.
I can't remember.
Was it 8 million or 6, 7 million?
I can't remember.
Anyway, I know our portion is probably going to go up to whatever our percentage is. We're in a negotiation phase, taking the contractor and the architect together. Trying to negotiate it down there, so they've come maybe half of it, half of that overage is what's looked at so far. So we're meeting tomorrow to see what we can do.
Was it change orders that made it go up?
No, it hasn't started. The original, when the bids all came in, they were all significantly higher than what was budgeted.
Oh, I see.
And so it hasn't started. It's not going to start until we figure it out. But it's kind of put a kink in what the original schedule was. So,
council members, you want to give some feedback to Mr. Geddes as he's going to be taking your thoughts on this.
What are they meaning to discuss tomorrow? Just other options, or are there?
Well, what they've done is they took the lowest bidder, and the architect and the lowest bidder have been working out items of which they feel there could be some savings. They feel like there's about maybe $400,000 to $500,000. Right off the top, that they could either tweak the building and, you know, maybe make these changes. They're not anywhere close to where it needs to be yet, but that's what's happening right now.
So I'm assuming you'll obviously will just come back to us with whatever new plan.
Right. I'm actually on the building committee on that group, so
okay.
When I was on the board, they had some space that was specced out but not finished as room for future growth. Is that still?
That's not there that I know of. As I look at it, I don't. But it's there is future expansion space, but it's kind of I don't know. It's a pretty elaborate building. I mean, it's nice. So there may be some things that they could be scaled back on.
So where did they get the original estimates from that were off by $1 million? Do you know?
The original architect came up with estimates, just like Bone and Collins would have done on this. And then
is that, and they're one of the ones bidding $1 million higher than they originally said?
There were eight bidders.
And they came in bidding $1 million higher than the original estimate?
Well, up to $3 million over. So the lowest one was $1 million
so
over.
But the architect isn't bidding.
Oh, I thought he was saying that he was one
no.
of the people.
No, the architect did not bid. He prepared a budget, which is what we based our funding on, which we agreed to a year ago now. Mm-hmm. I think it was as Daniel was going out of that committee. Yeah. So I'll keep you posted.
Okay.
Any other ideas and suggestions? We're a fairly small percentage of it, but it's...
I can't say that it surprises me. I mean, this is typical for what government does, is that they go over budget.
Well, and what's happened, too, is that the market's changed, of course. And, contractors are busier than they were when this started.
I visited that site. I was never convinced that a new building needed to be constructed. So I'm disappointed in this. So keep us in the loop. All right. Moving on now to scheduled items. So the first scheduled item is canvassing of our primary election. So Ms. Mulvey, if you want to come forward, give some instructions to those who will be tallying votes, and we'll go from there.
Okay, so the city council is the official canvassers of the election, and basically that what needs to be done is that need to verify that the tallies match from the election night count. And then after we do that, we're going to move on and open up the ballots that have been received and verified as valid since election night. And so in front of, and Mike Geddes and Jenny Reese are not doing any of the totaling because they are on the ballot. So it's Trent, Rob, Daniel, and Gary that will be doing them. So this first one here, I just need you to look at the total votes cast sheet and make sure that it matches the total that's on the tally sheet from the poll workers that night.
So how do you want us to, do you want us just to initial each one or put a check mark, or how do you want to do it?
You can put a check mark and then just initial it at the bottom if you like.
Okay.
And then I need whoever wants to do this extra one, because we have five precincts.
Can Mr. Bunker do it, or does it have to be a council member?
You.
Okay. I'll try and go through as quickly as I can.
And then while you're doing that, I'll just explain for the audience that's here is what we're going to be opening tonight are the ballots that are provisional ballots that were verified as valid by the county clerk's office. And provisionals are done for when people are not in the registry. They show up to vote. They didn't get a ballot. And so they fill out a provisional envelope. It goes to the county. They verify that, yes, this person is a registered voter in the state of Utah. And most times it's because they moved and they didn't change their address. So the beauty of the provisional ballot is now their address got changed. So for the general election, it'll go to their new address. Of the 13 of those that were filled out, there was only one that was not valid, and that's because the person was not a registered voter in the state of Utah. So we can't count that vote, so it got rejected.
So I missed a little bit of that. So if someone moved and they got a ballot sent to them on accident, what happened in that case? Did anyone fill those out?
I had some people turn them in that moved. The post office doesn't forward mail, so if they no longer live there and there was a forwarding one, it just got sent back to – they actually went to the county clerk's office.
Oh, okay.
Because it's against the law to forward election mail, and it's clearly marked on the envelopes this is election mail.
So we didn't get any back that were from an address outside of Cedar Hills?
No.
Okay.
And then the mail-in ballots, the ones that we've kind of waited this two-week period to allow for anyone who postmarked correctly, the last day you could have a postmark was August 10th, the day before the election. And we received 112 altogether, and 10 of them were rejected because they were rejected because the postmark was too late. They were postmarked after August 10th. So in the spirit of being open and transparent, we're going to open these ballots right here tonight and have the canvassers tally them, and then we're going to take those new tallies, add them on, and then the Board of Canvassers will declare who will be moving on to the general election. So because we have so many, I apologize, it's probably going to take about an hour or so. That's how it goes.
Okay. Can I ask another question real quick?
Sure.
Okay, so I've got I'm new to this because I've never been on side, but I've got District Precinct 3. And so I can verify precinct.
No, what you're going to do right now, what you just verified, if that's okay,
yes.
We're done with that part.
Okay.
Now, this tally sheet here that's in front of you is for
the new one.
We're going to open up this ballot box, and you can, we're just going to, Gretchen's going to open the envelopes. David, because his voice is deeper than mine, is going to read the names, and I'm just going to verify that he read them correctly. And you're going to make a tick mark, and we're going to start with precinct one.
This is totally separate from what we're doing right now. So you want to put this and that are separate.
Right.
So those that's just part of the canvas, is that you have to verify that I've recorded the numbers correctly
on that.
From the poll
now,
worker sheets.
Now, who takes all these, like CHO3, CHO1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and totals that to make sure that that total equals this here?
You can do that right now if you want, because that's part of the canvas.
That's what I was wondering, where I would get the numbers for the other precincts.
Mayor, can I interject for just a moment? Mayor?
What's
that? Can I interject for just a moment? Mm-hmm. I want to note that our city code requires that video recording take place in the rear of the room unless the public body allows it to be placed elsewhere. Can we enforce that?
I don't have a problem with that in terms of where it is unless it's disruptive. So do you find the camera there disruptive?
I do. I would like to request to be placed in the back as our city code states.
Okay. Anyone else find it disruptive? Where it is?
I agree with Councilman Zapala.
Okay.
I don't care either way.
That's the majority. And Mr. Cromar, if you want to move it in back.
So my point was, I've got Cedar Hills 3 votes, but I don't have Cedar Hills 1, 2, 4, and 5 to see if they total.
Well, that's because someone else
has
it.
They have them. Okay. But if you want to see them, go right ahead, because you, as the canvasser, are going to sign off that you are verifying all these counts are accurate.
So. Right. That's just one step that I'm missing as with my auditing cap on. So if we could switch them around, maybe.
If you want to switch, that's fine. However makes you feel comfortable.
Okay.
Just a minute. Yes.
I was Kurt Crosby's official ballot watcher. I was the only one that actually stayed for the entire count the night of the election, and can verify that was done very, very well. Very satisfying results.
I don't know if that was the ballot watching time, is it?
He signed you up to be a poll watcher for election day. Today's not election day.
Okay. This maybe just put a number there.
Okay, total that up.
Do you need a calculator? Or you
no, I've got one. I just want.
Does anyone else need to borrow the calculator?
Nope.
Okay.
All
right.
See those two. Okay. Thank you.
Wait a second. What are you doing?
I'm going to total up to see that all these equal 250.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you haven't started doing
anything. No. Those will be below.
Very good.
Okay.
Two.
normally when you do a regular election, you probably only have about 10 or 12, maybe 20 at the most, but since this was mail-in, we have a lot. It was really interesting to watch the process. I'd have to say in the last 24 hours, we got 500 ballots turned in just by being walked in or whatever. You know, human nature, everybody waits till the last minute.
Yeah. So you're saying for the general election, it's going to be even more.
Yes. So we'll start counting a lot earlier.
Well, I mean, even for this, though, I mean, we could expect
probably
a sizable amount.
Because I'm figuring we got, what, 1,339 ballots on by Election Day. We'll probably have double that for the
But I understand this particular election, there was an issue with one of the post offices around here that a person was out of town, so that's why they figured there was so many that didn't get delivered. Is that?
I believe Orem got like a little over 1,000 delivered the day after because they were misplaced in Orem's
office. Right, yeah, maybe that's what I heard something.
So in actuality, I could have already had these ballots out and counted and ready, and you just could verify them. But
I wasn't aware
in the spirit of being open and transparent, I
just
prefer
did
to do
like
it this way.
So in the future, you could count them and then just have the tally for us instead of going through
verify.
This.
Okay. The numbers all match up?
I haven't told them yet, but I can while we're going. So
okay.
I'm good.
Is everybody ready to go? Yep. Start canvassing?
Yes, sir.
Right.
Okay.
So what she's doing now is just opening it. After we've verified all the ballots, we put them in a secure location and tied up the box so that if it were to have been tampered with, we would know. So it hasn't been because those are the original clips that we put on. And so basically, and then the ballots are still in the envelopes. We haven't even opened the envelopes yet because... again, in the spirit of transparency, I'm trying to do this all in the open so that there's no question. So we're going to start with Precinct 1.
Precinct 1, okay.
Everybody clear on what we're doing?
Just make tally marks, right?
Correct.
Yep.
Okay. Well, it'll take us a couple minutes to get rolling, but hopefully it'll speed up. And so you get kind of a taste of what we went through on Election Day. It's like it doesn't happen real fast.
Paul Sorensen, Chris Fowler.
Again, this is Precinct 1.
Paul Sorensen, Chris Fowler. Chris Fowler, Ben Bailey. Chris Fowler, Ben Bailey. Paul Sorensen, Jenny Reese, Kurt Crosby. Paul Sorensen, Jenny Reese, Kurt Crosby. Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen, Kurt Crosby. Angela Johnson, Chris Fowler, Ben Bailey. Brian Miller, Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen. Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen, Mike Geddes. Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen, Mike Geddes. Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen, Jenny Reese. Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. Brian Miller, Jenny Reese, Craig Clement. Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. Brian Miller, Jenny Reese. Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. That was precinct one.
Colleen, just so we don't get distracted later on, would it be okay to go through district run, make sure everyone's numbers are the
correct.
Same?
That's what I was just going to say, to make sure everybody matches. So you want to call out Gary and see if they are even with yours.
Do you want me to call out the numbers and then and make sure everyone's the same? Brian Miller, I have 3.
Yep. And
Angela Johnson, I have 6. Paul Sorensen, I have 9. Jenny Reese, I have 8. Craig Clement, I have 1. Kirk Crosby, I have 3. Chris Fowler, I have 5. Mike Geddes, I have 5. Ben Bailey, I have 6. Is there any discrepancies?
Nope. Good.
Okay.
Okay, we'll move on to precinct 2.
Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. Angela Johnson, Jenny Reese, 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 Ben Bailey. Angela Johnson, Chris Fowler, Mike Geddes. Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen, Jenny Reese. Angela Johnson, Jenny Reese. Angela Johnson, Jenny Reese, Ben Bailey. Brian Miller, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes.
Can you say those again, David?
The last ballot, Brian Miller, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes. Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen, Mike Geddes. Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey.
That last one was who?
Ben Bailey.
To repeat the last ballot, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey.
Thank you.
Craig Clement, Kirk Crosby, Ben Bailey. Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen, Jenny Reese. Brian Miller, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes. Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen, Jenny Reese. Angela Johnson, Jenny Reese, Ben Bailey. Ben Bailey. Angela Johnson, Jenny Reese. Angela Johnson, Jenny Reese, Ben Bailey. Paul Sorensen, Kirk Crosby, Mike Geddes. Jenny Reese.
Okay, that's it for two.
You guys ready for me to shout them out? That was number two, right?
Correct.
We're all done. Okay. Brian Miller, I have two. Angela Johnson, I have 14. Paul Sorensen, I have 5. Jenny Reese, I have 13. Craig Clement, I have 1. Kirk Crosby, I have 2. Chris Fowler, I have 1. Mike Geddes, I have 8. Ben Bailey, I have 12.
Jenny Reese, I had more. Did anyone else have more?
Nope.
13.
I thought 18.
What do you have?
I have 18. Oh, I have 18. Excuse me.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. You're absolutely right. 5, 10, 15, 18. It is 18. My mistake. Sorry, Jenny.
That's okay.
Okay.
Agreement on that.
Yep. Okay, good. We'll move on to Precinct 3.
Brian Miller, Craig Clement, Mike Geddes. Brian Miller, Angela Johnson, Ben Bailey. Craig Clement, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. Jenny Reese, Ben Bailey. Brian Miller, Jenny Reese, Chris Fowler. Jenny Reese, Chris Fowler. Angela Johnson, Jenny Reese, Chris Fowler. Jenny Reese, Chris Fowler, Mike Geddes. Jenny Reese, Chris Fowler, Mike Geddes. Angela Johnson, Craig Clement, Mike Geddes. Brian Miller, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes. Angela Johnson, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. Kurt Crosby, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. Angela Johnson, Craig Clement, Ben Bailey. Angela Johnson, Chris Fowler, Ben Bailey. Brian Miller, Angela Johnson, Ben Bailey. Brian Miller, Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen. Brian Miller, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes. Paul Sorensen, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes. Angela Johnson, Craig Clement, Ben Bailey. Paul Sorensen, Chris Fowler, Ben Bailey. Craig Clement, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. Ben Bailey. Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen, Mike Geddes. Ben Bailey.
Okay, that's it for Precinct 3.
Okay. Guys, ready? Brian Miller, I have 7. Angela Johnson, I have 10. Paul Sorensen, I have 4. Jenny Reese, I have 9. Craig Clement, I have 6. Kurt Crosby, I have 1. Chris Fowler, I have 7. Mike Geddes, I have 13. Ben Bailey, I have 14. Any discrepancies?
No.
No? Okay, very good.
We'll move on to Precinct 4.
Okay.
Angela Johnson, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. Angela Johnson, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes. Paul Sorensen, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes. Paul Sorensen, Craig Clement, Kurt Crosby. Paul Sorensen, Craig Clement. Angela Johnson, Mike Geddes. Angela Johnson, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen. Brian Miller, Jenny Reese, Craig Clement. Jenny Reese, Craig Clement, Mike Geddes. Paul Sorensen, Craig Clement, Kurt Crosby. Jenny Reese, Craig Clement, Mike Geddes. Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen. Brian Miller, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes. Craig Clement. Angela Johnson, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes.
Okay, that's it for Precinct 4.
That's it for report. Okay. Okay, I have 2 for Brian Miller, 7 for Angela Johnson, 6 for Paul Sorensen, 7 for Jenny Reese, 7 for Craig Clement, 2 for Kurt Crosby, 0 for Chris Fowler, 9 for Mike Geddes, and 2 for Ben Bailey. Any discrepancies?
Everyone good?
It's good.
Okay.
Okay, good. Now on to the last precinct, 5.
Angela Johnson, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. Paul Sorensen, Chris Fowler. Paul Sorensen, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen, Kurt Crosby. Jenny Reese, Craig Clement, Mike Geddes. Brian Miller, Jenny Reese, Ben Bailey. Angela Johnson, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes. Brian Miller, Craig Clement, Ben Bailey. Brian Miller, Paul Sorensen, Kurt Crosby. Brian Miller, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes. Brian Miller, Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen. Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen, Ben Bailey. Craig Clement, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. Jenny Reese, Kurt Crosby, Mike Geddes. Jenny Reese. Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen, Ben Bailey. Brian Miller, Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen. Brian Miller, Craig Clement, Mike Geddes. Angela Johnson, Jenny Reese, Ben Bailey. Angela Johnson, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes. Angela Johnson, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. Angela Johnson, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes. Brian Miller, Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen. Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen, Jenny Reese. Brian Miller, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes. Brian Miller, Jenny Reese, Ben Bailey. Angela Johnson, Mike Geddes, Ben Bailey. Brian Miller, Angela Johnson, Jenny Reese. Angela Johnson, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes. Brian Miller, Angela Johnson, Mike Geddes. Angela Johnson, Paul Sorensen, Ben Bailey. Angela Johnson, Jenny Reese, Ben Bailey.
Okay, that's it for Precinct 5.
Okay. Okay. Okay, ready? I will go through. Brian Miller, 12. Angela Johnson, 19. Paul Sorensen, 11. Jenny Reese, 15. Craig Clement, 4. Kurt Crosby, 3. Chris Fowler, 1. Mike Geddes, 15. Ben Bailey, 13. Any discrepancies?
Nope.
Okay. Now let's just go through and tally up each column. Thank you.
And then on those tally sheets that you have, the ones you just marked off, if you'll sign it on the bottom where it has a signature line. And then also I'm going to have all four of you sign the outside of these envelopes with the ballots that we just counted.
Daniel, are you done? Okay. Mr. Crawley, are you done?
Yeah.
Mr. Augustus, are you done?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to read off what I have, see if there's any discrepancies. So, Brian Miller, I have an additional 26 votes cast. Add that to 258. I have a total of 284. Any discrepancies there? No? Angela Johnson, I have an additional 56 votes cast, plus 697 equals a total of 753. Okay. Paul Sorensen, I have additional 35 votes cast, plus 390 is 425.
I have 426.
You have 426?
Uh-huh.
Let's see where we went wrong.
I got 425 also.
You got 425 also?
425.
So at the very top, District 1, Trent, I have 9.
Uh-huh.
District 2, 5.
5, yes.
District 3, 4.
4.
District 6, I've got, excuse me, District 4, I've got 6.
Right.
District 5, I've got 35, excuse me, 11.
11.
So that's a total of 35. Add that to 390, and that equals 425.
Oh. Yeah, it looks like when I added up my single totals, it came out right. My total votes are right. It was just when I added it up.
So do you have 425 now?
Yes, I do.
Okay, all right. Good. Then we're in sync. Jenny Reese, I have an additional 57 votes cast, plus 746, so a total of 803.
Yes.
Good. Let me know if I... Craig Clement, I have an additional 19 votes cast, plus 264 equals 283. Kirk Crosby, I have an additional 11 votes cast, plus 268 equals 279. Chris Fowler, I have an additional 14 votes cast, plus 161 equals 175.
275?
175.
Or 175?
Oh, yeah.
175.
175, okay.
Okay. Mike Geddes, I have an additional 50 votes cast,
yeah.
Plus 561 equals 611. Finally, Ben Bailey, I have an additional 47 votes cast, plus 397 equals 444. Okay. Any discrepancies at all?
Hold on. I had 442, so let me double check my
You have 442?
I got a different number, too.
Okay. I've got Ben Bailey in District 1. I have 6.
Hold on. I'm just calculating.
6, 12, 14, 213.
Do you want me to read up
through? That's 444.
Are you sure?
My mistake.
Okay. So just to be clear, District 1, 6 for Ben, 2, 12 more for Ben, 3, 14 more, 4, 2 more, 5, 13 more for a total of 47. Plus 397, 444. Everyone else get 444?
Yep.
No, I do.
Okay, Ms. Mulvey, I believe that...
Okay, so the next part of this process is that you as the Board of Canvassers accept this count and that you declare the top six candidates, the ones with the most votes, to be nominated to the municipal general election on November 3.
Can I ask a few questions before we get to that point?
Can we shut that door?
Out of curiosity...
Actually, you can't have a door shut during a public meeting.
Oh, well, I guess it is what it is then.
Yeah.
I guess I might have missed this part, but those were organized by precinct?
Correct.
But they were locked. I was just curious how they got organized by precinct.
I organized them as well as Gretchen did.
Before it was locked away? Is that
correct?
Okay, so you took them all and organized them and then
locked
them
up. Part of the process is when the mail-in ballot comes in, I have to verify the signature, verify that they are a registered voter, mm-hmm. and then right on here it has their precinct number.
Okay.
And so we just separate them by precinct because part of the reporting process mm-hmm. to the county and the lieutenant governors is the percentage per precinct, and there's all kinds of stats that they keep track of. So.
Okay. And then are we careful to make sure that no one has access to it unless there's two people present at one time, or is there that kind of control in place out of curiosity?
Yes.
Okay.
Good. Ms. Mulvey, can I also clarify, if there had been a tie mm-hmm. for the last... the sixth and seventh place, what would happen in that situation?
Well, that's up to the candidate. A candidate can request a recount if they're unsure if it's a tie or not. If they're totally in agreement and there's no recount, there's several ways that it can be done, and it's down to something like flipping a coin or drawing straws. I'm not kidding. You can do it that way. So at this point, you as canvassers will declare the sixth highest are moving on. And then at that point, if I do have a candidate who requests a recount, then of course I'm going to have to do a recount.
And then I think I might have a discrepancy on getting to the total between all these sheets.
Okay.
Just one.
Okay.
So let me just make sure. Where's precinct one? So we got 3, 5, 2.
I have a map right here. It's precinct one is
he's talking about the
center
people.
Of Cedar Hills.
Oh, okay. Can I just see your front sheet real quick?
Sure.
Does that have to be in pens?
I think I couldn't read my own writing. It's probably okay. So let me see. Nope, we're good. So yeah, I totaled all these sheets per individual candidate, made sure they all matched up.
Okay, good. Thank you.
100% perfect. So.
Okay.
You need
thank
to sign
you.
That.
And
well.
What those are the ballots that you guys just all tallied. So normally a poll worker would sign that, but since you guys acted as poll workers, I need your signature on those.
Okay. So then I believe our numbers are correct in terms of what we've done tonight. So what do we need? A motion?
Uh huh.
Mayor, okay. Can I make a motion?
Please.
I move that we accept and certify the results of the 2015 municipal primary election in Canvas and declare City Council candidates Brian Miller, Angela C.C. Johnson, Paul Sorensen, Jenny Reese, Mike Geddes, and Ben Bailey to be nominated to the municipal general election on November 3rd, 2015.
I'll second.
Motion has been made. It has been seconded. All those in favor?
Gary, could we get a roll call vote
yes,
on this?
Yes, certainly
thank
can.
You.
Okay. Mr. Augustus.
Aye.
Mr. Crawley.
Aye.
Mr. Zappala.
Aye.
Motion was unanimous for those voting. Congratulations to those moving on. Let's turn everything into Ms. Mulvey.
Should we make sure everyone signs? Is that all we have to sign?
Okay. Let us move on now. We are on. That was an action item which has been completed. Moving on to 12, which is also an action item. This is
on our first public hearing regarding animal rights. So Mr. Goodwin is going to present.
As part of the rezoning process, we had discussed with the Planning Commission, and they made a recommendation to the City Council that the R1 15,000 zone be amended to include the conditional use for large animals. Large animals are cows, horses, donkeys, llamas, or similar other large animals. And these large animals do require a certain amount of livestock management area, 10,000 square feet for one large animal unit. This is part, like I said, this is part of the rezoning process so that the residents that we are proposing to be rezoned from the RR 120,000 zone to the R1 15,000 zone are not negatively affected and their properties don't lose any of their current value.
Okay. Council, we did discuss in work session, but you're certainly able to ask questions of Mr. Goodwin at this point. Anyone have any comments, questions?
I do have a question.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the ordinance and noticing that, like other zones, that this indicates that you can have an assisted living facility in this zone. And so are there limitations on the size of the facilities in those
No.
in that zone?
As far as the assisted living facility and what limitations in size there are on that conditional
use? Density or size, yeah.
No. Not dictated by our code. No, it would be dictated by state code. Not necessarily the density, but the number of beds in the unit would dictate the type of facility it would be and the amenities that would be required and other certain zoning restrictions. But that'd be a state code issue, not a city code. We don't have any density adopted on assisted living as part of a conditional use permit.
Okay. Is there any desire on the part of the council to give direction to staff to send that to the Planning Commission to look at, as long as they're amending our zoning ordinances and our design guidelines, to look at density for assisted living in residential areas?
I think it's a good idea.
Well, let me throw this in. In this zone, the R120,000 zone, you have the Beacon Heights assisted living facility that was the former Osmond Senior Living. They have 16 beds, and it's two houses that have been converted into one unit for assisted living. At 16 beds, that's their maximum threshold that they can have and still be considered kind of a residential type assisted living. Anything beyond that, then they've moved on to a commercial level. So I think 16 beds, that what you see there is going to be the maximum that you will find as an assisted living facility in a residential zone.
Yeah, so it'd be
barring
nice to,
a commercial.
It'd be nice to codify that.
But that's state code.
Because in our commercial zone, we're having a facility that is being proposed to be put in, and that's being called residential. It's going to be taxed as residential. It's not commercial.
But even if it was a commercial type building, it would still be taxed residential. Even if it was commercial size, it'd still be taxed
right.
residential.
The county says it's residential no matter what.
Yeah, it's going to be taxed residential no matter
right.
what.
It would seem to be prudent to put in some limit there.
Okay.
I would go along with that too.
We can talk about that. We've refrained from doing that in the past, just in case the state code does change and ours doesn't. That's been one of the reasons why we don't adopt certain state codes into our code. We just defer to state code. Because if state code changes, we're not always on top, 100% on top of those changes.
But we could keep that rule even if the state code changed. Right now, if the state code changed, then we would
depends on how
kind of be forced to change.
It depends on which direction it changes.
Right.
So in that case, our code could be challenged if it went the wrong direction.
But we can be more restrictive, just not less restrictive.
We can be more restrictive, but what we're saying is if the state code becomes, I guess it would be less restrictive than ours, and or more restrictive than ours, then we would have a problem.
Right.
Well, we'd just change it. We would adjust it then. But I like the idea of making it so it's clear that we can't, even if the state code changed, then it'd go. We would stick with our 16 rule limit rule.
Okay.
So
we can have the Planning Commission definitely look at that. I'm not objecting to that. We can put it on the next month's agenda.
Sounds good.
Are there any questions on animals?
I think that could be looked at. I don't have a problem with it.
No, I don't have a problem discussing it. I just wanted to be aware of those nuances as we talk about state code. So. Are there any questions regarding animal rights?
Okay. Someone would like to make a motion then on this item? I will take it.
Um,
So I move that we approve ordinance number 8-25-2015A, an ordinance amending the Cedar Hills Municipal Code Title 10, Chapter 4, Section B, granting large animal rights as a conditional use in the R1 15,000 zone.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Was that Mr. Augustus?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Mr. Augustus seconds it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Oh, it's an ordinance, so I can't roll call.
Okay. Mr. Zappala?
Aye.
Mrs. Reese?
Aye.
Mr. Crowley?
Aye.
Mr. Augustus?
Aye.
Mr. Geddes?
Aye.
Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Moving on to item number 13, also an action item. Mr. Goodwin, you can stay there. This also involves some rezoning, so go ahead.
Just kind of get a clarification, Councilmember Zappala. You want it to mirror state code for assisted living in...
I just like the Planning Commission to look at it and consider mirroring state code.
Okay, just making a note here.
But I would specify that rather than just saying that we're going to mirror state code, that we say 16 is the limit. So if the state code changes, we're more restrictive. I'd like him to consider that too.
But then the problem is if it ever changes, it has to come back to us and we have to redo our ordinance again, is what we're saying.
Unless they became less restrictive.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It could come back to us and we'd have to change that again.
So if they became more restrictive, we'd have to
maybe
change
that's
it,
not a problem. But,
so I think we leave it up to the Planning Commission and look at their recommendation.
I'm sorry to bring it up again. We can have that discussion and come back with a recommendation from the Planning Commission. I don't think that's a problem at all. So. As the other part of that was the staff is recommending to the City Council amendments to the current zoning map. This has gone to the Planning Commission for discussion and for review recommendation to the City Council. For those in the audience, portions of the certain parks that are found in the city, Doral Park, Cedar Run Park, and Cottages Park, which is yet to be built but is on the current capital improvements plan, they are currently found in their underlying residential zones. We're proposing to move them into the public facilities zones so that they match all the other parks and public facilities that the city currently owns. There are also schools in that zone. The other portion of the rezoning is areas of the RR1 20,000 zone. We're proposing to move portions of that to the H1 hillside zone.
Sorry, we're getting a little temperate really here, so we're trying to motion to turn the AC on.
I should have put my Lone Peak t-shirt on.
So we're proposing moving some of that to the H1 zone to match the remainder of the Avenue Acres HOA. The remaining portion of that R1 20,000 zone section that's currently being proposed for rezoning would be moved to the R1 15,000 zone, where we would take these legal non-conforming lots of record, a bunch of third-acre lots, in a half-acre lot zone, and put them in a zone where they would be considered conforming lots of record. So, with that being said, are there any questions on that?
Is this just kind of housekeeping? Is that what you're doing? I mean, it makes sense.
It started out as a request from a resident, but as we started looking into it, we started looking and realizing that we needed to be some housekeeping items done with the zoning map.
Yeah, okay.
Do we have a plan for the Cottages Park?
I don't believe we do.
Where
the Cottages Park? 10 to 15 years.
Well, the Cottages Park, I believe, as I recall, it was supposed to be a trailhead park, but was that not the case?
No. The Cottages Park is a smaller neighborhood park, but it did initially have a pavilion planned in it, and then just a little parking area.
Yeah.
So where is that on here on the map? I'm trying to
very see. South end. It's almost touching Pleasant Grove.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
It's outlined in green there, very bottom.
It's sort of at the end of that.
Gated. Right now,
it's not a gated, but it's a HOA. Community.
It's an HOA, but it's not a private road though. Right now, they use it for parking some trailers and stuff.
Can you just quickly tell me who this will affect and how this will affect them, if anybody?
It will affect anybody that is. Most of the people that are affected are the ones that are currently in the R1 20,000 zone. Those that are bordering the parks aren't affected at all, other than their park will stay.
And how will it affect those people?
It'll affect the people that are going from the R1 20,000 zone to the R1 15,000 zone. Some of them will get an increase in density, as we discussed in the work session, where if they have a large enough lot, they could gain an extra lot if they chose to subdivide their property. One of the, I would say, the biggest change that would have affected them was the R1 20,000 zone did not have animal, or the R1 15,000 zone did not have animal rights. We just remedied that, so they will continue to have animal rights pending a vote. So
they will not continue, but they'll start having animal rights.
No, they'll continue.
Some of them.
They currently have large animal rights, so we were taking them from a zone that has large animal rights and putting them in a zone that did not have large animal rights.
Gotcha.
So we added those large animal rights into that zone so that there was no detrimental effect to them.
Does that mean that some people that didn't have animal rights now do, that were in that zone before?
No. There's nowhere on the city that currently is R1 15,000 zone. So if you look at the zoning map, it's no zone is currently found. So nobody is gaining a large animal right that they did not have previously.
Okay, that makes sense. Thanks.
Any other questions? Okay, I'll take a motion.
I would like to motion to approve ordinance number 8-25-2015B, an ordinance amending the zone map of the city of Cedar Hills to change a portion of area currently in the PR3.4 planned residential zone and the H1 hillside zone to the PF public facility zone, a portion of the PR1 20,000 rural residential zone to the H1 hillside zone, a portion of the RR-1 20,000 rural residential zone to the R1 15,000 residential zone, and providing for the adoption and administration of this ordinance.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I think that was Mr. Crawley, right?
Yeah.
I would like to suggest one change, which is that you, I think
hold
you just...
Hold on. Because I have a motion that has been seconded, which means we do have to vote on it.
No, we can have a discussion.
No, discussion.
Oh, excuse me. Right. We can have a discussion, and then you can ask for changes. So go right ahead.
Yeah, you just misspoke and said PR 120,000 instead of RR, which I totally get because you're tired and you've been sick.
Oh, so yeah, I will accept that change if I said that.
Very good. So correction has been made. Second has been made by Mr. Crawley. So let's have a vote. Starting with Mr. Geddes.
Aye.
Mr. Augustus.
Aye.
Mr. Crawley.
Aye.
Mrs. Reese.
Aye.
Mr. Zappala.
Aye.
Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. That is the end of our action items. Moving on to a couple of discussion items. Item number 14, awarding a contract for the Community Recreation Center concessions. Mr. Gordon.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Recently, staff went and sent out a RFP, request for proposal, for our concession area. And in that process, we received one proposal from Cameron Burr. You should have received that proposal that's in your packets as well. He currently owns a food truck, Genki Food Truck. Mr. Burr is actually here tonight as well. Sorry, he came from a food truck rally tonight, so he's dressed accordingly for the hot weather out there too. So he's here to answer any of your questions. He has extensive experience, as you see from the proposal he sent you. Worked many years at Neater's, Buffalo Wild Wings, has had his food truck for a couple months now, and looks forward to operating as a deli, a sandwich deli here in the golf course. We've talked to him extensively, Mr. Bunker and Mr. Goodwin, and I believe that was all that was there. Spoke with him, and obviously for us, catering is a big focus, big piece of it, and he has extensive experience doing that in the past, and I'll let him speak to that. But for us, we really feel like it is a key component to anyone being successful there, is the catering, tying it in with us. And again, we'll reiterate, we'll never go in-house and say you have to use us, because that's a selling point for us here in the building, but they'll be the first person that gets in contact with our clients when there's an opportunity to cater their wedding event, quinceanera, whatever it is. So obviously staff, it's a discussion item really tonight now at this point, so I would open it up for any questions you have.
So do you mind if I ask Mr. Burr to come
absolutely
up?
Absolutely, come on up.
But before you ask Mr. Burr to come up, I'm just curious, this originally was an action item, and why is it now? Because I think we've got a little urgency to get this thing going. But
well, be that as may, we haven't even discussed it. And so I felt like before you bring something that, before it's brought as an action item, we actually need to discuss it. And I wanted to give sufficient time in order to accomplish that.
All right, thanks.
Mr. Burr.
How are you doing?
Thank you for being here. I just want to start with a couple of questions, then you, Council, can ask. I'd like to know about your catering operation. How long have you been doing catering? And I like your food and your food truck, but is your menu different? And what are the size of catering parties that you're actually comfortable with and have been doing up to this point?
Okay. So my background, our family has been involved with Hoagie Yogi and their franchise from a while back. And in that operation, me and my brother started a catering business where we handled 40 to 50 charter schools every day that we were delivering packaged meals to, some of them hot, some of them cold. So on any given day, we were managing over 10,000 meals getting made or prepared, made, and delivered to those locations. Now, that's a different direction as far as catering goes. I mean, you're catering to, you know, elementary age students and things like that. But then when I moved from that directly into the Neaters brand and their company, we handled a lot of wedding events. You know, I'm assuming most everybody here's eaten at Neaters at least once. Handling wedding venues anywhere from 200, 300, sometimes 500 people. And I was responsible for coordinating those things as far as taking the orders, managing the inventory, bringing it in, having the staff there, and making sure that everything was taken down and cleaned up and put away and whatnot. And then, I mean, I'm not advertising myself as a catering business, but every day as a food truck owner, operator, technically you are catering because you'll go to a business who has 500 employees and you have to make sure that there's enough food ready. And, you know, so from the beginning stages when I was 14 until now, I've been involved in this industry and catering. Honestly, in the restaurant business, if you're not selling alcohol, then that's really where your money's going to be made. So with this space opening up and with the venue, that would be probably my top priority in making sure that the people who booked this venue would obviously have access to a good source for food. I would also like to branch out and do delivery / catering to other local businesses around here as the area continues to grow. As far as the menu versus what I'm currently doing on my food truck, it would be entirely different. I don't think bringing that menu in here would be as good for the community as it would be doing like a classic deli serving hot and cold sandwiches, soups of the day, salads, you know, a good healthy option for kids' meals. As we know, this area has a lot of families and children. So those would be kind of my focal points here, and giving somebody or everybody an option for a higher quality menu that's still made on site, and we're not doing anything pre-processed or anything like that.
Right. You know, I'm glad to hear what I'm hearing, because I think that if someone that goes into running our grill has got to recognize that they will make their money on the catering, not the grill. In fact, the grill, I think, is a loss leader. And so given that, I like the fact that you have been involved with Neaters Catering. That's really important. Catering for elementary school kids is going to be very different than catering to a bride and her wedding.
That is correct.
And so you're almost going to have, Cameron, three different menus. You got your Yankee truck. You got the grills menu, which will be different from your catering menu. Can you do all three of those things, and how
yes.
many employees do you
the
have?
The idea with the menu here is to make it where it can be advertised as a catering menu as well, but I'm not going to eliminate the possibility of doing, you know, different stations. I went to culinary school, and so we were involved in a lot of corporate caterings that way, but doing, you know, the crepe stations and this station and that station, and that's kind of what is more common on those higher end events.
Okay.
And so I don't want to eliminate that, but I want the same quality to be represented throughout all three business ventures. And that's kind of my whole goal in food, is high quality, affordable price.
I get that. So I want to go back to my question, which is that you got essentially three menus, and so maybe even a fourth, because there's golf tournaments and maybe the golfers like something different than a bride would like on hers. So my real question was, how many employees do you have, and do you have the ability to do all of that?
So currently now I have 5 employees with the food truck. The plan is, if we are awarded this space and this contract, that we would go ahead and initially hire 10 employees to handle this operation. The 5 would stay with the food truck, making it so that I don't have to be there as much, and I can focus all my attention and efforts here along with those 10 other employees. Now, heading into the fall, there's probably more events here scheduled just because of the weather conditions, and we will have on-call staff as well. I plan to utilize the high school and some of their programs of kids going into food or looking into it, giving them an opportunity to come in here. But the plan is to initially bring on 10 people. I don't think the grill would need more than 2 or 3 per day, mm-hmm. unless business picks itself up.
I agree.
But I don't want to lose the opportunities with catering.
Okay.
And making sure that...
So let me ask you a question. I don't want to ask you to cook us any food, even as much as I would like that. But I'm wondering if you could provide menus, sample menus for what the golfers you would, what you would be providing the golfers, so that our recreation staff can look at that and say, yeah, we would recommend tournaments to you. And also a menu for our events girls to take a look at and say, yes, we would recommend weddings to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the grill, I'm curious to what your menu would be there. So 3 menus, if you wouldn't mind providing to us in terms of the type of food that you're going to be providing, I think that would be helpful.
Okay.
Okay.
We can do that.
Council, go ahead. Time's yours to ask some questions.
Could I start for just a minute?
Can I add one thing?
Yep.
One thing that we haven't touched upon too that is really beneficial for us as having a food truck is, you know, our space is what it is, but he has the food truck that has a stove in it. And so we've discussed that about the catering, and that's something that would be a huge asset, because he could bring it here, cook the food for the catering events on site, have it here ready to go. The other thing is, hopefully you've seen in there, and there is, to speak to one of your points, is he does have a menu in here for what we would have here at the golf course.
Yeah, I saw there is a menu there.
Yeah,
I mean,
so,
a rough
menu. That's not touching on the catering and stuff like that. So that hopefully that answers that question. He has a great marketing plan. If you look at that, we've discussed that a lot in detail too, because the one area that's never, we've got a lot of people that are promised a marketing structure that would go out and do it, but it's never come to fruition, and that's what's made the people fail. High school is a key element of that, and as he's already touched on that, he already knows that, and we've tapped into that. And I think with the relationship we have with Lone Peak High School, it can only get better. We've talked about having a special of the day, something fast that the kids can grab it and go, because their time is very precious.
I see the menu for the grill now.
So thanks. I just wanted to add that about the stove. I think the stove is a huge asset.
So I asked Cameron. Obviously, I think we need something up here, and I don't know who the right person is. We've been through this a couple times since I've been here, and I mean, I'm excited to have something that's good, enthusiasm with a good marketing plan. This is a tough place to do business. I mean, it's proven.
Yeah.
There's only so many golfers, but I think catering is the key. I like that's a big part of your proposal. I worry a little bit that, I mean, what do you plan for the winter? I mean, are we not going to require them to be open during the winter? I don't think, in the prior ones. Yeah, okay. I think the prior contracts require them to stay open in the winter and things like that, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to. I mean, there is a community up here that I think would come and eat regularly. I think that's what I've heard from a lot of people. If the food's good, priced appropriately, and you know, good and fresh, and you know, there's a variety. I bring this back because I've posted it, but I'm really familiar with the Ridge up at Suncrest. I don't know if you've ever been up there, but
I haven't.
It's a restaurant that caters only to Suncrest. I mean, it's literally either that or it's a destination place, and they seem to make it happen. I don't know. It's just good. I eat there when I'm up there because I'm building a house up there now. But they have Friday night specials, for instance. You know, they'll do a prime rib or ribs and whatever, and, you know, I don't know if that would ever work here. I really don't. But I'm just saying, it's this is a tough place to do business. So go in it with your eyes open. Absolutely. And, you know, I would like to see something happen. And, you know, unfortunate, or maybe fortunately, we only got one person that responded to RFP, but or RFQ, whatever. And, you know, I'd like to see it, something work if you can make it happen.
Thank you. Anyone else have any comments?
Yeah, I've got two questions.
I have several, too.
First question is, I think I read in here somewhere where you said product will only be available from the truck. Is that right? Or are you going to...
I was reading that. That was going to be my question, too.
Okay.
No, the truck would be completely separate from the
grill. That's what I thought.
It's on page 7, it says.
It's under the marketing plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
it just says our products will only be available to purchase from the truck, with the exception of catering events.
I probably meant...
Just a bit of typo.
Yeah.
Probably meant... But you will be in this space right here.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So the truck would be... Elsewhere. I mean, I'm planning on operating it during the winter, but this is going to be my main focus going into it, and kind of elaborating on his comment. Going into the winter months, that's where businesses do a lot of outside catering. And I've noticed that with Neaters, their catering picks up as the temperatures get colder. And so I would like to capitalize on that opportunity as well. So
I think you meant inside catering during the winter.
What's that?
You said outside catering. Not you didn't mean outdoors. You meant
no, like meant going outside of the space area, here, right? And getting business elsewhere and delivering the product.
So then I guess my main question for you is, I think we've had 3 people try this already in the grill. So what are you going to do that will make you successful?
On top of all the cliche answers, it just takes somebody who understands food. You have a lot of people, and you see this a lot with the area that I'm in now with food trucks. People have great ideas for one product, whether it be desserts or Mexican food or whatever, but they don't understand the markets of it all. And so one thing that's helped me see this a little bit more clearly is having to start your own business and plan a menu based on seasonality is really where the food industry is going. That's why you see a lot of chains changing their menus, and giving this an opportunity to not say, this is Sammy's subs or whatever was in here and shakes. They were only limited to doing sandwiches and shakes. But, I mean, you're not always craving that. But if you give yourself a menu that's flexible, that's one area of opportunity. The other area is understanding the market. I've grown up in the area. I've worked in many restaurants in this market and seen what works. And I'll apply those lessons here. And I think I'm overly dedicated to the field. And I think that's one area that'll keep me going.
Daniel, if I may, I think that my take is, those are all the cliche answers he talked about, but he's the first group that we've ever had who understands that catering is what makes this work or not. And so past groups did not quite get that. And so that's why I tried to hammer it through to him, is that if they get catering done right, it will work. If they don't do catering, it won't. Because I honestly believe, Cameron, that you're not going to make money on the grill. It's a loss leader. And so if you look at the whole umbrella, and if you're making enough money on catering to offset that, that whole operation, I think, works. But if someone comes in thinking they're going to make money just on the grill, I think they're going to fail.
So in light of that, have you talked with staff? Is there, what kind of relationship will there be with catering in terms of getting access to the events that are happening here? Are you just going to be one option among 10 that they show customers, or are you going to have a privileged spot?
I haven't discussed any of those options with them yet.
So I would recommend you have that conversation with staff.
Obviously, if we have an in-house person that's in this grill space, they are a preferred caterer. They're the people, as long as they have a menu that you're discussing that is amenable for us.
So how does that get represented to customers?
Well, when they come in and set up appointments with Natalie or Becky, they sit down and they go over all the logistics of it. One of the things they'll talk about is the catering aspect and what are their expectations. We give them in every folder, we give them itinerary brochures, whatever you want to call it, for all of our preferred vendors. We have one preferred vendor typically for our food, for flowers, for every individual aspect, that they would be the ones that we would have as our preferred vendor. So they're the ones we're going to push forward. Again, going back to what I said prior, we'll never say you have to go with them.
Right.
Because that will kill our market share. That's what happens to a lot of the other
But do vendors. They get any incentive to go with them, some kind of a discount on a package? If they
well, obviously, that's part of the financing, the monthly payment to a percentage of that would be shared with the city.
However, right, but I mean an incentive for customers to choose them so that benefits us by having the grill stay open.
Right, that would be something that he would have to work out and let us know so that we can do that. I mean, like when Sammy's was here, they would throw in plates, you know, china.
So
that
maybe,
was their incentive.
So maybe it would be a good idea then if Cameron sat down with Natalie and Becky, those are our events girls, and get their blessing on this, Greg. And then also have Cameron sit down with Wade and get Wade's buy-in as well. If you do that, I think that goes a long way to the council to give them assurance that staff is ready to recommend business to Cameron right away.
Right. Now, and we have already talked to Wade and to the girls, so they're aware of it.
Cameron has already sat down with them?
Did we sit down? Were they in there that day?
I haven't talked to them.
We will get him there, but what we need first is that menu. So we have to have the menu to sit down and present that and go over all of it with them. When I say we've talked to them and let them know about the opportunity and that this, if this works out, this is what the goal is, and they're totally on board with that. They want nothing more than that,
I get that, but I would go the step further and have Cameron actually sit down with Natalie and Becky and you. Cameron, sit down with Wade and you and see if you can get a buy-in from everyone so that we know the girls are saying from day one, yes, we will recommend weddings.
Right.
Wade will say, yes, I'm going to recommend golf tournaments.
Sure.
You got to have that. I really
Absolutely.
Think you do.
But, yeah, we'll do that, but we have to get the menu first.
Part of that, too, is, I mean, if I were Becky and
Natalie,
I mean, I wouldn't recommend someone that I didn't know anything about either. And so I think there's got
to
be a buy-in.
They got to sit down.
Yeah, they
got to
sit down and
And then I think we ought to seriously consider offering a discount if they go with the in-house vendor.
Yeah.
Because there's an advantage to the city if that space is staying open and utilized. It's a benefit to our residents to have a place to eat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if it's $100 off use of the Vista Room or if it's $50 off your golf tournament or whatever, I mean, that's something that we ought to consider as a city.
Yeah, definitely. Talk to them both and see what they recommend, I would think.
I've got a few questions and comments, too.
I got one more, and then I'll get you some time. So I want to ask you a question about the grill, but I don't want that to be the focus of what you're doing, as we've talked about. But the feedback I've gotten from a lot of residents from past vendors in the grill area is they'll offer a burger, much like you have on your menu, for $7, $8, and they're thinking, well, I'm competing with, I can take my kids down to McDonald's and get burgers for $1 or $2 and a nice burger for myself for $4. And so they tend to skip by the burgers that are here. So I don't know if you have something to say to that or how that situation will resolve.
And that's, from my perspective, it's understanding the food. You have chains that are competing, serving one item. And in one area, I am competing with them. But offering, you know, you can't go to McDonald's and get something that's, you know, the patties are formed and ground and handmade on site. I mean, we all know that, and we go bargain hunting if we have the chance. But also allowing your menu to change seasonally, making it so that you're only allowing that consumer to have an experience, you know, several times. Hopefully in the course of a year, they'll try eating it 5 to 7 times, that one menu item. But if you're giving them something that they can get anywhere, then they have, like you said, they have no tie, they have no relationship. So what I would do as far as a hamburger is concerned, making it so that it's something that they can't get anywhere. We're using ingredients that you can't get on a burger at Burger King or McDonald's or Wendy's. We're adding vegetables and the side items. You don't just get, you know, the three options of French fries or a house salad or I don't know what they serve. But giving them different options for sides, and with the ice cream machine, giving them that option. There's a lot of different ideas that we have. I just need to find out, is it a burger market, or is it a sandwich market, or is it a soup and salad market? From what I understand, it's going to be more of a soup and salad market, because it's mainly going to be the women that'll attend the grill from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., and then families afterwards that are still the same women and children that came for lunch. So the burgers I threw on there, that's not my focal point. I want to highlight other good things, sandwiches that you can't get at Subway or...
Okay. My questions will focus on the finance aspect of what the city gets out of it, just kind of protecting the interests of the city, making sure that we are getting for that space what it is worth. And from what you put together and the 40% that we would get of the profits, your forecasts show that we will get a decent amount per month, but it's really based on a lot of assumptions. I like that you put $600 base. It's not as much as it's worth, not even close, but it makes it so that if you have a hard month, you still survive. And then having the 40% of the profits makes it so that we are partners, so that we are motivated to make you successful because it makes the city successful. So I really like that. I assume the 40% would continue no matter how big you got or in this area. Now the revenue forecasts, it says cafe and catering. That will exclude the revenue on the food truck then. Is that right?
That is correct.
Because that's your established business, and that's a different thing. So it'll only be what's here, and then the catering. What about catering you get from other venues? How will you separate whether it's catering from here and should belong in this calculation, or if it's, you know, if they found out from the city here, or if they found out from another venue, how will you separate that out?
We can. There will be just different areas within the catering, whether it's a delivery or it's a school catering or whatever. I'll categorize where it's coming from and the venue it's coming from.
Okay.
And make sure that those venues are getting their dues or
right.
Or what have you.
Okay. And then I would assume it'd be okay for someone like me to come and just check through the books, since we're kind of partners in this, that I'd be able to come and check through the books, or someone in the city. I'd prefer to, because I've been an auditor in the past. Just sit down once a year and spend an hour or two and look through the books and make sure that everything looks like it's in order.
Yeah, I would recommend that.
Okay, I don't know if everyone else will agree to it. That's what I would hope they would allow me to do. The other thing is the forecast, so we would get 12% of the revenue based on your forecast, because it's 30% goes to the bottom line. Of that, we get 40% of it, and that's 12%. A big way that could fluctuate is based on how much of your own personal costs, payroll, goes into the costs that are included in the operating costs. Have you thought through that? How much of your pay or your family's pay or whatnot would be part of that cost? You see what I'm saying? You could mm-hmm. you could really increase your pay that you're allocating and make the profit so it's 90 or the cost 90%, so there's only 10% left to distribute 40%. So I'm wondering how would you deal with that?
I'm planning on having the food truck supplement everything that I need for me and my family.
So you're saying none of your payroll will come out of
no.
the costs of this. Okay, that's an important piece. If that's what we're agreeing to, I think that should be in writing, if that's what we're agreeing to. And maybe it makes sense to have a percentage go to you, but just make it so that it's in writing so that it doesn't fluctuate based on any unknown factors. I'm not saying that you can't pay yourself anything from
right.
that. Like you're saying, that's pretty strict. But I'm just saying, whatever it is, should be in writing, so there's no arguments when it comes to the end of the year and we're looking at it. So there's, you know, we just need to iron out those details. When you're partnering with someone, there's those details that are better to have in writing first, because even friends can become enemies if things aren't in writing. So anyway,
okay,
that's it. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you so much for being
here. Thank you.
Greg, it's getting kind of cold in here. You mind raising the temperature? Okay. Next item. Discussion. Next item, discussion on Bowen Collins study on Bay Hill Park. We discussed this during work session, but let's discuss it some more publicly. So, Mr. Goodwin, are you presenting on this?
Council members of Paula asked me during the break how we got to this point. I want to just kind of bring the whole council up to speed. About a year ago, the Parks and Trails Committee looked at the concept A that you can see in your packet. And based on some resident feedback from that area, we found that it wasn't going to meet the needs or desires of the residents. They wanted to see some changes that they felt would better serve them in that area. So what the Parks and Trails did is they sat down towards the end of last year, beginning of this year, and they came up with what you have as concept B. And then when we decided to defer doing anything on that park until fiscal year 2016. July, the first week of July, once the new fiscal year began, David and I met with Bowen and Collins and showed them concept A and concept B, and asked them to give us some price projections for both of these concepts, and to come up with a concept C, which would probably meld the two together at maybe a more cost-effective way. So that's how we've gotten to this point where we have the three concepts. These came in late last week. So we haven't, as we said, we haven't shown these to the Parks and Trails Committee. We will do so following the council's advice in the work session. But are there other things that we can take to the Parks and Trails, or is there other direction that the council would like to see staff move in a way?
I just have one question, and it's not about the designs, because I think I'll wait for the recommendation from the Parks and Trails Committee. But a while back, the city made an ordinance that when the city spends more than $400,000, I believe it's on a building as opposed to a park.
Yeah.
But I think we should get some clarification that I'm correct on that, so we can proceed with this park without any confusion on that.
Good point. I have the same understanding, but we'll look into that.
It does say a new building.
New building. Yeah. Is that what the code says?
I'd like to make a quick comment. And I was on the committee for a year last year, and we reviewed the plans in several of our meetings. And I just wanted to say that Bowen and Collins did a really good job to come up with this alternative plan that no one had thought through, that's clearly better than anything we came up with. I just wanted to say that they did a great job, and I appreciate that. And I think it's important that we involve the Park and Trails Committee heavily in just looking this over. So.
Okay. Other comments?
I would just reiterate what I said in work session, that yeah, definitely the Parks and Trails Committee should take a look and make a recommendation, and then I would just like the staff to just solidify for us the funding sources.
I would agree with what both of them have said, and then just add in that we had talked about checking whether the grass area could be used for tot soccer in terms of whether it's big enough and what the cost would be for grading that to be level.
Okay. Any comments from the right side of the table?
I think I covered what I was thinking too.
I'll plan on taking it to the committee.
Okay, very good. Comments. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here. I'm going to take a motion to go into exec session. If someone would like to make that motion now.
You have the paper. Oh, wait, it's on here. Can I take this?
Yes.
Okay, I move that we go into a closed session pursuant to Utah State Code 52-4-204 and 52-4-205-1A to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual, and this meeting will be held at the Cedar Hills Community Center.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Zappala seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. It needs to be roll call.
Oh, roll call.
Okay. Mr. Zappala.
Aye.
Mrs. Reese.
Aye.
Mr. Crowley.
Aye.
Mr. Augustus.
Aye.
Mr. Geddes.
Aye.
Okay, motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Ready? Okay, we're now back in regular session. I will take a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
And motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Crowley, I think, seconded that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much.